So if you have a Bible, tonight I'll be sharing from James 1, verses 19 through 27, so you can look there and follow along in a moment when I read it. Through Lent, in this season of Lent, I've been, and others have been speaking about the heart of spiritual growth and spiritual life, and as Lent is a time of contrition and growing in our walk with Christ and acknowledging our sin and seeing Him as our Lord and Savior. And as I've said throughout the last month or so, the heart and the beginning of spiritual life and growth is a broken and contrite heart. And this is something that we're always growing in. It never stops until we meet our Lord, right? Until we're in glory. And one important aspect of spiritual life is life itself, and that may sound redundant, but we don't want to divorce our spirituality from how we live, from our lived reality, as this is exactly where discipleship and growth in Christ take place. James, you may be aware, was likely one of the first books that was written in the New Testament. And he was the half-brother of Jesus. He was a leader in the Jerusalem church and in the first century. And James is sometimes viewed as a book that people don't know what to do with it, because like Martin Luther called it an epistle of straw, because there's some supposedly apparent dissonance and contradiction with other parts of the New Testament, such as Paul. James says, faith without works is dead. Paul says, we're saved by grace through faith, not by works, right? So there's this dissonance, but this dissonance is not because James was not a Christian, did not belong to Christ, and this is certainly a part of God's word. The dissonance is because James is doing something different than a lot of other parts of the New Testament. One scholar named Karen Job says that unlike Paul, James is not teaching about Jesus, but he's applying the teaching of Jesus as normative for the Christian life. So in other words, James is about ethics. He's about applied theology rather than theology proper, like Paul might be more like about theology proper. So we need the book of James, right? Because the Christian life is a life of walking with the Lord. And it's essential for us to have good theology, to learn in Sunday school, to read books, theology that comes from the Bible. But it's even more important, I would argue, to have the right heart. The word points us to having a heart before the Lord that loves Him and walks in His ways. And what indicates our hearts? What we do, right? You'll know them by their fruits. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, in this way, our action or lack thereof can point back to our hearts. So, we must consider what our actions are and what this might communicate about the condition of our hearts and our spiritual vitality. James 1 shows us that life itself is a key way that we grow in Jesus. And tonight I'm just going to talk through a couple aspects of this, of this statement here. We grow in Christ through humbly receiving His word and faithfully doing it, all by His grace. So we humbly receive His word and we faithfully do it, all by His grace. So James 1, 19 through 27, let me read it for us. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for how they challenge us, for how you do so in love, and in light of what you have done in your Son. Lord, I pray for you to lead us tonight as we consider how to grow in you through doing your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you may have noticed in this passage there's an important word in verse 21. We put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. So that's the first way that we grow in Christ. We receive the word. That's been a theme throughout all of Lent in these times. Verses 19 and 20 speak to our natural human inclinations to speak our thoughts before listening, to embrace those desires of wanting our own way, right? And James, what he's calling us to here is counterintuitive to what our world and our own desires promote, but listening first and being slow to speak is God's way. And James calls for something different. He calls for what I mentioned already, putting away filthiness, evil, rampant wickedness, and receiving something from outside of ourselves, receiving with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now that saving, I think, is about, it has to do with this growth in Christ. It's a progressive part, but it also has to do with our salvation, and I'll get there in a moment. So the word for put away here, though, has a temporal sense to it. That is, after, it says something like, after you have done this, by God's grace, receive with humility God's word of life. So this is kind of like Colossians 3 and other passages where we put off our old selves and put on Christ. And as those passages and this one as well show us, it's all a result of God and his grace and his word. Now, how is this all possible? How is this possible? Look right before our passage in verse 18. I'll read it. Of his own will, that is God, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So his word of truth is the way that he brings us forth or gives us new life, and for the purpose, this is for the purpose of us being the first fruits of his creatures, or of people redeemed and made new by his grace, of the new creation reality of redeemed, being redeemed people. All of this comes from God, right? Just like the wisdom that comes down from our Father, as we see in and every good and perfect gift, as we see in verse 17, God gives us not just wisdom and good and perfect gifts, but he gives us new life in Jesus Christ through the Spirit. And because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we are made right with God and called his own. And we're now called to continually receive the word and put off our fleshly desires, to humbly live according to the word that he gives. And in Christ, we were talking in Sunday school this morning about the New Covenant prophecies, and I think this passage speaks to what was prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 31, where God promises that he will put his law within us, and he will write it on our hearts through his Spirit. He takes what was the case in the Old Testament with God giving his law to his people, And he works this new covenant reality into our hearts in a deeper and a more lasting, more personal, more permanent way than we ever could. And this is a way that he does it through his power and through his Spirit. And he does all of this, as you all know, so that we live as his ambassadors, as his workmanship. Well, I just want to emphasize once more here that all of Christian life starts with God's supernatural work. It isn't something that we muster up in ourselves. It's something that he works in us through the power of his Spirit, through us going to him each day to receive from him what he has for us, and then living with what he gives us and how he strengthens us through his Spirit. It's something, the new life that we have and the daily provision, these are things that we are to praise him for every single day, every morning. This is the cross-centered life. We're talking about that on Sunday mornings. Starting each morning and each evening at the foot of the cross, giving thanks to God. And it's something that we pray for him to work in us each day. I read this prayer by William Tyndale on part of the Lord's Prayer, and I thought it was pretty amazing because it just, we need reminders sometimes from other people to see how backwards our natural inclinations are. We have the Spirit in us, but it's helpful to get these, read these sorts of prayers by others to have these reminders. Here's the prayer. Dear Father, open our eyes and work patience in us, that we may understand the works of your hand, and also patiently allow your will to be fulfilled in us. Even though your strongest cure may be painful for us to bear, still go on with it. Do whatever is necessary for your will, and only yours, to be fulfilled. And forbid us, Father, from following our own plans and imaginations, from acting according to our will, our meaning, and our purpose. For your will and ours are often entirely contrary to each other, yours being good and ours being flawed, though in our blindness, listen to this, in our blindness we usually see it the other way around. We think our ways are right and God's are wrong. And Tyndale says, amen. So I think we need to pray with this kind of honesty and this willingness to be redirected. God's word is supposed to be the implanted operating system in our lives as his people. And where do we learn? Where else do we learn to be patient, to be kind, to listen? We don't learn from ourselves. Maybe we are offered a little bit from the conventional wisdom of our world, but it only goes so far. And we learn all of these things from God's word, right? And God's word here calls us to be people who are humble, prayerful, and people who listen first. So this brings me to my second thought for tonight. I've already been speaking about it, but we grow in Christ through faithfully doing his word. So not only, as James says here in verse 22, we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And I think that you all may chuckle at me as a younger pastor, a millennial, saying that it's hard to listen. But I think our moment is a moment that is very hard. It's very hard to listen to much of anything in a way that is serious and actually takes it to heart, because we have so much noise, so many distractions. Every moment of our day can be arranged and scheduled out. So even hearing that James is talking about here is hard, and that's just a side comment to what James is really saying. He's saying, be a doer. Be someone who carries out this task. So first we need to slow down in order to hear the word, which you all are here, which that's the first step, is being here to hear the word and to read it on a daily basis. But then to do it, to carry out the task. And as people say, the best way to learn is what? Through doing. So we learn Christ-likeness through doing his word. James doesn't mean that we're earning anything before God here. He's saying that we're doing the word as people who are already new creations by his grace. Matthew 5:17, Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And in this, he makes us right with God. So living into this law of liberty that Jesus brings is the life that God has for us. In seminary, our church history professor spoke about how Roman Catholics would say that works were necessary and antecedent or before, necessary for salvation, right? Well, we would say that works are not necessary for salvation, but they're necessary after salvation, as they show the condition of our hearts, right? So if we don't live out God's word, if we don't live out what we say we believe, James says that we're deceiving ourselves. And this is something we need to check ourselves on every single day. And ask the Lord for mercy and ask him for continued grace to lead us in. Verses 23 through 25 give us a contrast of just this. We're not to observe God's word for a couple moments and forget what it says, like we do when we're looking in the mirror. You know, what do we say when someone is given instructions and then doesn't follow them? We say either they're doing it on purpose or they didn't get the message. I know that sometimes I am given a message by my wife or others that I love, and I don't listen very well. And then I feel kind of helpless to actually do what I'm told. It's kind of embarrassing and humbling. And James is calling us to not be like that, to have open ears and hearts. And he's saying that we're supposed to get the message. The verb in the Greek for looking into is like you peer down and look into something so you really get the full picture. I remember when I was a kid, I would go look out in the side of the lawn at the pill bugs and kind of remember what was there. And I just loved doing that. I don't know why, but it was something I was excited about doing. I'd look forward to doing after school. And that's what God wants us to do with his word. He wants us to go to it and look into it and pick up the riches that he has for us, right? Verses 26 and 27 give us three examples of what this looks like. This is not the whole of the Christian life, but these are key examples. And it's something to consider as we consider what it means to be faithful to God. First, to bridle our tongues from speaking quickly. Second, visiting and caring for widows and orphans, for the least of these. For people who often, I would say, have no one else around them. That's our calling, right? And then finally, from continually guarding ourselves from being stained by the ways of the world. And this isn't just about us. It's about God's character being shown forth. As we live into our salvation by God's grace, we show the world our Father's character. Psalm 68:5 says, "Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation." He's the one who protects them, and the amazing thing is that he uses his people to do that. Think about that for a moment. We get similar ideas to this passage in Philippians chapter 2, the passage which speaks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Paul goes on to say that it is God who works in you, to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And then he says, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So we're God's lights in the world. in a crooked and twisted generation. That's our calling as God's people, and we're to live in light, in God's light, and shine by holding fast to his word. One more thought on verse 25, and then I'll wrap this up. In persevering as doers of God's word, James says that we will be blessed. Now, this is not because we have earned our salvation in our own strength, but Scripture does show us that our Father sees and delights in works coming out of renewed hearts that live by his grace. As Jesus says in Matthew 25, right? When he returns, he will separate the sheep from the goats. And the sheep who have done his will by loving and serving the least of these will inherit the kingdom that he has prepared for them from the foundation of the world, God's eternal kingdom, right? So in living the word, we have this eternal delight and joy to look forward to with our Father. Amen? Amen. So what does this all mean for us? The short of it is God wants us to be people who hear and get the message. If we're not inclined to what James 1 calls us to, we need to examine what's in our hearts and what in our hearts is not reflecting what God has done for us in Christ, to confess this to him. God wants us to say in our interactions with others, God, you've been patient with me, so I'm going to be patient with this person. God, you went to great ends to reach out to me. So I'm going to go to great ends to reach out to other people. You poured yourself out for me. I'm going to pour myself out for you. You forgave me. I'm going to forgive you. In living out God's grace, we grow to be like him, both individually and together. That's why these times are so important. We come together and pray and encourage one another in the life that God has given us. And he works growth in us through us doing his word. Think about the parable of the sower, right? The parable of the sower is about people who receive and understand God's word. Then they produce fruit, right? As I read James 1:27 about visiting orphans and widows in their affliction especially, you may have thought about a few people that have done this particularly well that you've known in your life. And I think that's because it's just attractive when we see this work of God, when we see people showing God's kindness and mercy to their neighbors, right? And that's our calling. Our calling is to be these kind of people who hear God's word, who receive it, knowing that we're made new by his grace. And then we grow as we live out his word by his grace. Amen? Amen. Lord, this is what you loved us for and saved us for, to be people who show your character to the world. These are challenging words in some ways and amazing words in others, Lord, invigorating. We are who we are by your grace. Lord, I pray for you to work these truths deeper into our hearts and make us people who don't just hear your word on Sundays, but people who do it throughout the week. I pray for each person here for this to be true, for everyone else in our church. Lord, for us to be a community where we grow in your grace through doing your word. Lord, we pray this and pray this knowing that you are the one who works in us to will and to work for your good pleasure. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.